time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. They were pegging this trend in society today. And the name of the article is "The Mass Dumbing Down of Humanity is Now Confirmed by Scientists." The article goes on to say that mainstream media pundits are finally beginning to notice a disturbing trend that we have been warning about for quite some time. And that trend towards dumbness and idiocy throughout the West. The West, notice, not Europe or anywhere else. In one op-ed published by NBC News, the author Evan Horowitz pegs this trend as a widespread IQ decline, indicating that intelligence levels are now trending downwards after many decades of moving upwards. Every decade since the Industrial Revolution, intelligence has increased for our children. And then they grew up and their children have increased. And they're trying to figure out the reasons for this. Now, he's claiming that the decline remains largely unknown, even though there are actually many elephants in the room that remain untouchable within the context of political correctness. So they're saying we don't know why people are getting stupid, but there's all kinds of elephants in the room. And let me give you a couple of them. The article never talks about artificial water fluoridation. Every study in the world has reported scientific research. One of the biggest studies came out of Harvard University found that fluoride, the chemical fluoride, especially that put in drinking water, lowers IQ in children. Did Horowitz mention fluoride as even a possibility, as a possible factor in the IQ decline? Nope. He just avoided talking about these chemicals and everything else. Another one is he avoided talking about the chemicals sprayed on food, which are also associated with decreasing IQ levels among school children. There's also understanding about vaccination. And there's no fake news writer or correspondent has thus far indicated a willingness to even suggest that the vaccines and the chemicals that the contained in those vaccines might be harming children's brain. But the truth is, and scientific studies are, that it does. Back in 2015, there were studies, an extensive compilation of scientific studies and data showing that the vaccine chemicals like aluminum and mercury and solvents and adjuvants are basically destroying children's brains. But Horowitz, did he care about any of that? Apparently not. So, and we're injecting those right into the bloodstreams of these children, especially right at birth. And he says also, let's not forget about the growing amount of pharmaceutical drugs that's constantly hitting the market, and all of the antidepressants, anti-anxieties that are being pushed on children to deaden their brains so they'll sit still. And then we know that these chemicals impair the brains of developing children. Was that mentioned? No. Even though these aspects, Horowitz actually he denies that those are even a factor in the plunging IQ. So again, here's this article about the dumbing down of people and all of the things that I just mentioned, including the devitalized food. The food that people are eating today just does not have the nutritional value of foods from 50 years ago. And so nobody talks about these. Nobody talks about the chemicals that everybody's being assaulted with. This is what's happening. And one of the things about fluoride, as an example, fluoride chemicals are added to U.S. drinking water, and they're unprocessed. These are not special fluorides that have been designed. What these are chemicals from the agricultural industry and the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industry. These are byproducts of industries. They're being put directly into the water, and we know that these fluoride chemicals have a very profound impact on the dumbing down of children. And we now know that the states with the most fluoride and the countries with the most fluoride have the most toxic residues in the blood. These chemicals are being placed in our drinking water, and they're actually unprocessed toxic waste products. Most people never take the time to question where all these fluorides added to our drinking water come from. And the answer is shocking. It's generally a pollutant captured from the phosphate fertilizer industry and chemical imports that come from China. And they're known for a lack of regulation. I mean, chemicals coming from China. These chemicals aren't purified before they're added to drinking water, and it's not at all unusual for them to contain significant amounts of heavy metals. So we know that fluoride has many dangers to the brains of these children, or not just children, to everybody. So the dumbing down of people, and we think it's the fluoride and everything else that we might be having. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
People that are getting a lot of exposure to radiation, whether it's PET scans, CAT scans, a lot of x-rays, dental, chest, all of these. Russia did the most research, but spirulina is one of the finest, actually it's an algae, and it's, you wouldn't call it an herb really, but it's an algae, and it's highly protective against radiation. And they actually did studies after Chernobyl, and the people that were taking spirulina, because it's a standard thing in Europe, a lot of people take spirulina, and they found that those that were taking the spirulina did not have the same kind of toxicity from radiation. So spirulina, not only does it help prevent with radiation, but it's also one of the most highly prized proteins. It's a 76% assimilatable protein, and it's a plant-based protein, so for vegetarians, it's one of the best sources of natural vitamins, minerals, and protein. So take advantage of it. Spirulina is one of those. You can get it in powders. I like it in capsules. It's just so much easier that way. So you are on live. Are you a question or just listen only?
Yes, I have a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
The first one is, would chlorella be as good spirulina? And then my second question is, my son's been studying some about iridology.
Yeah.
And he ran across a couple of iridologists who say that having green eyes means that you're severely toxic, and I don't know if there's any truth in that or
right.
not.
Right. So now, you got to be careful of that. First of all, chlorella can be as good as spirulina. The problem is, it's how is the chlorella processed? Because chlorella has a cell wall around it. It's a very tough wall, and it's very hard to digest. So in all of the chlorellas have to be processed so that cell wall is broken. Now, there's different ways of doing that, chemicals or mechanical processes, but it has to be broken down before you get any kind of absorption. So I think that the spirulina, which is easily digestible, it doesn't have the same kind of cell wall, and it doesn't have a nucleus to it, and so that doesn't have to be broken down. But I think spirulina is much, much cheaper, and it's also more digestible. So unless the chlorella is a high-grade chlorella that you're aware of, and you know they're processing it properly, then I would go with the spirulina. And the second question with the iridologist, you got to be careful, because there's so many things with iridology. I've studied iridology since the late 60s with some of the foremost people in the world. One of my mentors was Bernard Jensen, who's considered really, in the United States, the father of iridology. And then I've studied with Lionel Silver, Ray Yancey, John Christopher, and all of these were top herbalists, naturopaths, and iridologists. So they're going to tell you, you know, a lot of things that you see in the eye means you're toxic this, your liver's breaking down here. And you have to be careful, because the eye only tells you what's called energetic aspects of what's happening. And just because you see an open lacuna in the area where the liver is, it doesn't mean your liver is breaking down. So you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I practice more what's called the RAID method of iris analysis, because the RAID method, you're looking at what is the brain's lesson. What does it mean when we see open lacunas or the dark spots in the eyes or different colors or the white ring around the outside? Each one of those things means something, but it can have a psychological impact much more than a physiological impact. But I like the psychological assessment, telling you what's behind what you see in the eye. You know, what is the brain processing? Are you more introverting or extroverting? Are you more right brain or left brain? Are you more an auditory person, a kinesthetic person, or a visual person? Because every human on the planet processes information one of three ways. You can either be auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. And the eye can tell us these things. So when you look at that, again, depending upon who you go to, when you go to an iridologist, everything that they see in the eye is something wrong. So when you go in there and you feel great and you're doing well and you just want to get a iris assessment, and then they start telling you, well, this fiber means this and this fiber means that, everything you see in iridology is something wrong with the body. Where in the RAID method, that's not the case. What you're seeing is what the lessons are, what the brain is attempting to learn. Quite fascinating, especially you get in, take a photograph of your eyes, blow it up, put it on a computer, and look at it. Anyway, I hope I answered your question on that. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thanks for calling, Dennis. Good morning. How can I help?
Yeah, question for you is that I've seen a urologist, and with a PSA of 4.2, his recommendations that he wants to do an ultrasound and a biopsy. I'm wondering, is there an alternative?
Yeah, an ultrasound I don't mind, okay, but we don't want to do a biopsy. And what was the number, 4.2?
Yes.
Yeah, 4.2 is not high. So what we look at, though, is over a period of time, did that number go from, say, 2.3 to 4.2 in 1 month or 2 months, then we weren't going to do more. But I still don't like biopsies. What I would request is an ultrasound. If the ultrasound is positive, then what I would do is request an MRI. And an MRI is pretty conclusive. I would look at that. I don't like biopsies. Biopsies are invasive, and they can always cause mistakes. So, and then they have to do punch biopsies. They have to go in and keep punching a bunch of different holes, because it just depends where the cancer is, if there is cancer, because they can punch all around it, and it's all negative, and they don't get it. So they'll do 10, 12 punches. And so we don't like that. They really, it inflames the prostate, and then your prostate has to heal, and then there's scar tissue. So if we cannot do a biopsy, then I wouldn't do one.
Okay. Yeah, the actual prostate numbers is, it was 3.3 last October, and a year before that was 2.8.
So it's very slowly. Yeah, so basically you could even just have a little prostate infection, or what's called BPH, where the prostate swells up a little bit. One of the things that I would do is Nature Sunshine has two formulas. One is called Men's Formula, and so it has Pygium africanum, it has stinging nettles, it has saw palmetto. All of these are to help the prostate. Nutrition for the prostate, and they help provide all of the nutrients for the prostate. Studies have been done on saw palmetto, and it does work very well to help shrink the prostate if there is something swollen. And so it can, it would be the first line of defense that I would grab before anything else.
Yeah.
Men's formula and saw palmetto.
Yeah, I've been taking Men's Formula now for about the last 4 weeks based on your recommendations.
Yeah, add the saw palmetto, the concentrate.
Okay.
They're little pearls, and you take maybe one twice a day, and that's going to make a big difference. And then get a number again in about 2 months, and we should start seeing those coming back down. And the other thing is, let me ask you a personal question. How old are you?
I'm 67.
So a lot of these cancers on older men take 20 years to grow. So oftentimes doing nothing is just as good, or sometimes even better, than trying to be aggressive. So let's not worry about it. Add the saw palmetto. In a month or so, get another number, and let me know what those are.
Okay.
Okay.
I've seen also a kidney specialist, and I showed her that I was taking Prime Longevity, and I showed her what was in it, and she was really sold on the stuff.
Oh, cool.
She was really impressed on the formulation of it. So.
Yeah, there's very little.
Kudos to you.
Oh, really? Thank you. Tell her thank you very much, because there, I'm proud of myself. There is not a single formula on the market that can come close to the formulation of Prime Longevity. So no question about it. It is really a top of the line. If you're an athlete, as an example, and you take Prime, once you start it, you'll never go off of it, because you're going to find that your performance starts to increase just tremendously. And if you go off of it, it's going to make a big difference, okay? What was the Gleason score? Did they do that for you?
No, they did not.
Okay, so then don't worry. Next time you get a blood test, just have them find out what the Gleason score is, because that can tell us if you're approaching prostate cancer or not. So that's another good number to get. All right, Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you, doctor. You have a good day.
Thank you. One of the articles I wanted to mention, because sometimes there's a lot of confusion about foods, and there's a lot of foods that people really don't eat growing up because they knew them as unhealthy. And the foods that you eat or don't eat may have been influenced by the media or corporations. So there's 9 foods that a lot of people commonly perceived as unhealthy, quite beneficial and good for you. So number 1 is bananas. And a lot of people don't eat bananas because of the high carbohydrate, sugar rich. However, consuming bananas in moderation actually helps regulate blood sugar levels because of their high pectin fiber content. In addition, bananas provide many nutrients, potassium, B6, copper. They're very high dense food. Type in fasting with bananas or banana fasting. You'll get all kinds of hits. There's people that have been eating like 25 bananas a day for 6 months, even a year. And I remember one of the guys that does the banana fasting. He was on the show on TV called The Doctors. And they were saying, oh, that's so dangerous. You'll get too much potassium. Your heart's going to be damaged. So he said, test me. He says, I've been eating 25, 30 bananas a day for 6 straight months on nothing else, no other foods. He said, do all the testing you want. And they did, and he was perfectly healthy. I mean, cholesterol, sugars, his hemoglobin A1C was down in the low fives. He was healthy, and they were absolutely stumped. So bananas is number 1. Now, number 2, chocolate. And now, when I say chocolate, there's a big difference between milk chocolate and dark chocolate. And people avoid chocolate because of the high sugar content. However, chocolate made with cacao, no artificial ingredients, no dairy, nothing else, just the chocolate, maybe a butter and some sugar, especially if you're getting between 75 and 85% chocolate, it's actually a really healthy, healthy food. And real chocolate contains more polyphenols and other powerful antioxidants than most other foods. Again, these substances protect diseases and prevent DNA damage. So a good piece of chocolate, dark chocolate, that's above 75%, and you cannot go wrong. You can reap many benefits. Number 3 is coconut oil. And many people avoided coconut oil because they kept hearing about the saturated fat. There were studies that show that there's no association between the consumption of saturated fat and a higher risk of heart disease. In fact, research have shown that this type of oil is actually good for your heart and can help increase your levels of high-density lipoproteins. That's the HDL or the good guys. And because it has a medium chain triglyceride, medium chain fatty acid. So it can help fight bacteria. It's antibacterial. It also boosts your metabolism. And you can use coconut oil as a substitute for butter. And it's a very high in medium chain triglycerides, which produce energy. It doesn't produce fat and raise your cholesterol. Number 4 is coffee. Drinking a cup or two of coffee has health benefits. It's all the garbage that they put into the coffee that raises your risk. So coffee itself, especially buying organic coffee, has very high antioxidants. Number five is egg yolks. And if you're eating omega-3 eggs, then that yolk is very different from a chicken that is fed omega-6 compounds. So egg can be consumed unlimited, really, in my opinion, but they'll always tell you, have you ever noticed it went from one or two eggs a week and then all of a sudden there was an article that came out that eating three or four eggs a day improved eyesight and reduced your risk of macular degeneration. And I wonder what happened to the in-between. Where did it go from one or two a week to four a day? So again, healthy egg yolks from omega-3 eggs, nothing to worry about. Number six was grass-fed beef. Beef and other red meats are usually avoided because of their high saturated fat cholesterol content. Again, but neither of these contribute to an increased risk of heart disease. Now, grass-fed beef are safer and healthier to eat. They provide high-quality protein, vitamin B12, zinc, selenium, iron, but also the fat is much more omega-3 than omega-6. When cows eat grass, the grass contains omega-3 oils. When they eat corn and soybeans, those contain omega-6 oils. So be careful. The next one are nuts and seeds. Nuts are avoided because they, again, have high calories, high fat. But again, if you're eating healthy organic nuts like almonds and pecans and walnuts and sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, these are very high rich in minerals, and they're rich in antioxidants like vitamin E, essential minerals, copper, magnesium, selenium, and they also very high-grade sources of fat. And again, they're omega-3 fats. The next one is sardines. The canned sardines you see everywhere. They're consumed in whole, and usually you see these in these little cans, and they can be made with mustard or hot sauce or anything else. They are really high in healthy omega-3 and omega-6. They have vitamin D. They can lower your risk of cancer. So sardines, another very healthy food. And then number nine, offal, O-F-F-A-L. That's a type of food that are the internal organs of animals, like the liver and the heart and the lungs and the brains and the pancreas. And those things are usually not eaten very much. But when you look at animals in the wild, carnivores, those are the first things that carnivores eat. They don't eat the muscles of the animal. So people don't realize eating liver and the organ meats, like the heart, liver, and the kidneys, are very high amounts of vitamins, like vitamin A, and this is true vitamin A. And so these are the nine foods that can be very, very beneficial. And I think you can't go wrong with these kinds of foods. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
There are some signs that can really help you to tell you that you know you're deficient in vitamins. And a good, well-balanced diet on organic foods and nutritious, you know, taking your nutritional supplements. On the other hand, if you're eating a lot of foods that lack nutrients, they can cause a lot of symptoms. And recognizing them can just help you adjust your food intake. So there are four most common signs of vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Number one is brittle hair and nails. And you're looking at compounds that are in the B vitamins, like biotin and B vitamins completely, and essential fatty acids. And they play in a complete important role in strengthening the hair and nails. Minerals like zinc and silica. If you have brittle hair, brittle nails, add essential fatty acids, add silica from bamboo, add a good prime longevity because it has all the B's in it. And so that's going to really help. Number two is mouth ulcers, or a lot of sores in your mouth, or cracks in the corners of your mouth. And people with mouth ulcers or cracks in the corners of their mouth, you want to try consuming more foods with thiamine, riboflavin, pyridoxine, and iron. And these, again, are mostly the B vitamins, and of course iron is a mineral, and will help to alleviate those symptoms. Another one is bleeding gums when you brush your teeth or floss. But if you're eating a lot of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, so if you don't eat those, you can develop a vitamin C or bioflavonoid deficiency, and that's the unpleasant symptoms of bleeding gums. So just add a good vitamin C. I use Nature's Sunshine vitamin C complex, and I take it in the time-release form. It's full spectrum, and I really like that. It's, I think, the highest grade that I use on the market. Number four is poor night vision and white growths on your eyes. And that could be low vitamin A intake, and that causes poor night vision. You need vitamin A. Now, some people will take their vegetarian source of vitamin A, which is are the carotenoids, yellow vegetables, like carrots as an example. But if you're prone to diabetes, you're not going to convert the carotenes to pure vitamin A. So oftentimes I just tell people, take a vitamin A little teeny capsule. It's usually in some kind of a fish oil, and that will really make a difference. So if you take these, and you'll see that you'll notice right away that all of those symptoms disappear. The next one that I wanted to cover is there's some tips to help to reduce some high blood sugar and cholesterol levels in your blood. Now, when you hear these, you're going to go, well, that's evident, you know, self-evident. And yet a lot of people forget the stuff that's right in front of their nose. Now, all this evidence comes from the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health. So here are a few tips. Eat healthy fats. And to reduce cholesterol levels, many people cut out sources of fat from their diets. However, research has shown that eating healthy fats like avocados and raw nuts like walnuts and pecans and almonds, and raw seeds like sunflower and pumpkin seeds and flax and chia, and eating healthy fatty fish like salmon and sardines, and eating olives and olive oil, they all can help reduce your LDL, or the bad cholesterol. They can increase the good cholesterol and improve blood sugar levels dramatically. The next one is reduce your intake of garbage or added sugars. Candies and ice creams and a lot of baked goods and donuts and sweetened beverages. But sugar is the culprit, not fat. And sugar negatively affects both cholesterol and blood sugar. So cut out all those added sugars, and you'll also notice that your weight begins to improve. The next one is consume more vegetables, especially organic. So increasing the intake of both fresh and cooked vegetables can significantly improve blood sugar and cholesterol. And add these vegetables like spinach and artichoke and bell peppers and broccoli and cauliflower and green beans and those kinds of foods are very, very healthy. carrots and celery. The last one is eat mostly whole, nutritious foods. So relying on packaged foods or fast food restaurants could damage your health. You know, eating a whole, nutritious, whole foods and healthy meals, prepare more meals at home using whole, nutrient-rich foods that support your metabolic health. And again, these are the foods like vegetables and beans and healthy fruits and healthy sources of protein and fat, including fish, nuts, seeds, olive oil. These are the ways to really increase your health. I covered some foods that talked about what we call, you know, the 9 foods that were considered unhealthy but are really healthy. Well, here's 7 foods that you can eat that actually will help you look younger. Out of the 7, again, you'll hear I just mentioned those. Those are the same foods that help to keep your sugars and cholesterol under control. So the 7 foods that can help you look younger is, number 1 is olive oil. It has strong anti-inflammatory properties that can protect your skin, elasticity of the skin, decrease your risk of sun damage. Also, flax oil can really help. Number 2 is green tea. It has very strong antioxidant properties, protect your skin's collagen from sun damage, and reduces signs of aging. And number 3 is fatty fish. Things like wild salmon and sardines, they really make a difference. They can help in your response to inflammation and sun exposure, especially the salmon, because they have high amounts of a compound called astaxanthin. That's what makes them turn pink, improves your skin elasticity. Then again, number 4 was dark chocolate. It's very high in polyphenols. Then organic vegetables. They provide all kinds of sun protection and prevent free radical damage to the skin. And this is due largely to their antioxidant effects. And then number 6 is flax seed, not just flax oil, but the flax seed protects your skin from sun damage and improve the smoothness and elasticity of the skin. And then number 7 is avocados. I would add olives onto that, but avocados have been known for many years to help protect the DNA in your skin cells. So those are 7 foods that are very, very healthy. Hi there.
Hi.
Do you have a question or are you just listening?
Both, but yes, I do have a question. I've been to an endocrinologist recently. I do suffer from hypothyroid for about 20 years now. Over the last 5 years, I've had increased symptoms of intolerance to heat, excessive sweating, hair loss. I've been to different doctors. My lab work continues to come out normal.
Right. They're normal. It's because they're looking at TSH. And the problem is TSH is an insignificant number when it really comes to how you feel. Now, if you go back 25 years, 30 years, doctors used to treat clients and patients according to how they feel, not just by numbers on a blood chemistry. So you can't trust the numbers on thyroid. Because as an example, let's say you have a low TSH, let's say 0.05. Okay, we like it to be at least between 1 and 2, or 1 and 2.5. That would tell you that your thyroid is hyper. But when you look at the T4 and T3, you'll often find that those are in the normal range or in the low range. When you look at it, it's contradictory to what the TSH says. TSH says your thyroid is too fast. Now, to help thyroid, you need 2 things. You need iodine. So oftentimes we use Lugol solution, and you start with 1 drop a day. Did they put you on Synthroid?
Yes.
Okay, did they add Cytomel with it or just Synthroid?
No, just Synthroid.
So Synthroid is T4. And T4 is strictly a storage hormone. It's not an active hormone. It has to be converted to T3. Now, in the conversion, You have to have niacin and iron and a lot of the B vitamins. But you also have to have true vitamin A, because vitamin A, not the carotenoids, the vitamin A or fish oil, helps convert the T4 to T3. Oftentimes it's a conversion process. So if you add iodine at between 1 and 3 drops, again, you start with 1 drop, a week later you add another drop, a week later you add a third drop. When you're on Synthroid, that should be enough. And then the other thing I would have him do is ask for a prescription for Cytomel, which is thyroid T3, which is the active thyroid, and you need that. Now, if you don't want to hassle with the doctor, you can come by our store. We have a desiccated thyroid called bovine thyroid. Comes from New Zealand, and they're organic cows, and they're desiccated. They take the thyroid gland and they grind it up, and you get the full complement of T4, T3, T2, T1. So you are correct in your symptoms. They're going to tell you you're just depressed, you're just upset, and that there's nothing really wrong. That's not true. You get a new doctor, and you tell them, look, you've been reading, and that you only gave me T4, which is an inactive hormone, and I want to be treated properly, or give me my chart and refer me to another doctor. Again, you can come by and get bovine thyroid and start with 1, and maybe 1 for the first 1 or 2 weeks. Then you can add 2 if you need to, and again, the iodine and the vitamin A. And you should start noticing right away you feel better. I would add Prime Longevity, because that's going to give you your insurance policy of all the other nutrients that you need. And I think you'll do well just taking those nutrients I'm suggesting. Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, you're
Thank
so
you
welcome.
Much.
This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
If you have no sense of smell, unless there's some kind of underlying pathology with your nose, that usually means you're deficient in the mineral zinc. Zinc controls the sense of smell and the sense of taste. So what I would do is get a zinc tablet. I use Nature's Sunshine. You could tell I'd probably take maybe 2 pills twice a day for the first week to 2 weeks, then maybe cut it to 1 pill 3 times a day for another week or two, and then cut down the dose to just 1 twice a day as a maintenance. You should notice that your sense of smell starts to come back. That would be number one, is if you have a poor sense of smell, add zinc to your diet.
Organic coffee was used by Dr. Max Gerson. So the question is, how can you measure that the glutathione S-transferase is actually released in greater quantities by the liver when used like Dr. Gerson?
Well, there's probably all kinds of tests that you can do, but I wouldn't worry about that. Dr. Gerson used the coffee as far as enemas, and he used it as coffee enemas in his cancer research. If you're taking it in the form of a enema, then it has to be organic coffee. And we're not talking coffee with cream and sugar. Okay. Okay. So, that's not what we're doing. So, you know, not to worry about it. Have your couple cups of coffee in the morning. Again, I would not drink coffee in the afternoon or evening. You only drink it in the morning. You want to finish your last cup of coffee about 12 hours before you go to sleep. If you can drink a cup of coffee and go to sleep, that means your adrenal glands are exhausted. And so I would do things to fix that. Nature Sunshine makes a compound called adrenal support that's going to be very helpful. Also, coconut oil and healthy fats, eating avocados, walnuts, pecans, almonds, olives. Those are some of the most important foods that you can possibly eat on a daily basis.
If you take a diuretic and have had kidney stones in the past, are these signs of prostate problems? I was told when I started drinking high pH water that this may have been the reason for the kidney stones.
That high pH water you were drinking was just water that had more magnesium and calcium and iron in it, and it had the phosphorus and chlorine removed. So that's not the reason. Kidney stones can develop for a number of reasons. One, it's usually an imbalance between calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium. And so what I would do is I would add a magnesium into your diet, more magnesium, and that would be in the form of any magnesium other than an oxide. But one of the best forms of magnesium is your raw seeds and nuts. So I would eat those. Also, magnesium comes from all your greens and vegetables. But taking a natural diuretic like juniper berries or eating parsley or eating asparagus, those really help to benefit your kidneys. Now, you could tell when your prostate is swollen because you're going to start waking up more at night to urinate. Normally, one time a night or zero, you should be able to sleep through the night. That'll tell you you're doing okay. If you're a male over 50 and you wake up one time to urinate, no problem. But if you're waking up three, four, five times a night to urinate, even if you go back to sleep, that's usually a sign of BPH or your prostate that gets swollen. So again, I would take... If you're worried about prostate, we just take, and any male over 50 should be taking it anyway, and that's taking men's formula at maybe two twice a day and a salt palmetto extract at one twice a day. And you should notice starting right away that you're not waking up as much or as often to urinate. You'll have a better stream and it won't dribble afterwards and you won't have to push to get started. And those are symptoms that your prostate might be having difficulty. And again, those are like when you start to urinate and it won't come out and you have to push. Okay, that's number one. And number two is then after you finish urinating, you keep dribbling and you're not finished. And then, of course, how many times at night are you waking up? So address your prostate that way. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
We are back. Good morning. You're on. Who am I speaking to?
Ruben, I'd like to know what could be taken for Bell's palsy that just started.
That's a very good question. And one of the things that Bell's palsy, it's a viral, they think it's pretty much a viral component that affects the nerves in the face. Now, one of the best therapies for that is oxygen therapy. Oxygen therapy, and again, it's very inexpensive, and you do at least three times a week as much as possible. Instead of having Bell's palsy for 6-8 months or even up to a year, you'll notice that within the first 4 to 5 weeks, it might be completely gone. The other thing that I would do is add some high-grade antioxidants. And again, I would use things like Prime Longevity because it has very high potency value. Also good maybe if you don't take Prime, then a B-complex, extra vitamin D, vitamin K, help your thyroid with iodine. That's going to be important. You can also get colloidal silver, and take maybe a teaspoon twice a day to go after the virus. But there's nothing stronger or faster than working with the oxygen.
What about also taking something like Melissa, helichrysum, frankincense?
Yes, now you could take all of those would be external on your face, and you'd rub those on the jaw area, on the side of the temple, on the back of the neck, going up from the ear to the jaw. And all of those essential oils, I would put those in maybe 3 times a day. Now, the frankincense you can take internally. If it's from doTERRA, which is the company we use, then you can use doTERRA internal. If it's not doTERRA, then I question if it has solvents in it and you can take it internally. But certainly, all of the essential oils, I'd put it on my forehead, my temples. Be careful, don't put it around your eyes, because the fumes will affect your eyes. And then on the jaw, along the cheekbone, and then on along the lower jaw. That should really make a notice. But if you do Prime Longevity and you do the oxygen therapy, I'll think you'll notice right away that the Bell's palsy starts to diminish.
The Lifelong Vitality Pack also helps?
Yes, that's from the doTERRA. Most people that have taken that, and let's say they were taking Prime, there's really almost little comparison, because Prime has such higher dosages. But with the Vitality Pack, that's high grade, and you'd take all 3 bottles that come in the Vitality Pack, because Prime doesn't have the fish oil. So you would have to take an extra fish oil on that. But the Vitality Pack has 1 bottle that's vitamins and minerals, 1 bottle antioxidants, and 1 bottle that's the omega-3 fatty acids. So I think next to Prime, they're some of the best on the market, and they all have essential oils in them. So I really like that company, no question about it. But again, even those that have been taking the Vitality Pack, when they use Prime Longevity, they'll always come back to that, because Prime Longevity is such a high-grade formula. So certainly it wouldn't hurt.
Can I use both?
Sure. That's, a lot of people use both. Then it just becomes a cost factor. But I think spending money on your supplements, to me, that's true health insurance. Most people pay health insurance. It's really sickness pay. But when you're spending money on vitamins, that's true health insurance, because that prevents you from being sick. So in the long run, you save a lot of money because you're not missing work and you're not being sick.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
What are tonsil stones, and how in the world do you get rid of the bad internal breath?
Internal bad breath comes from digestion, and it comes up from the stomach, and it comes up the back of the tongue. And oftentimes, if you stick your tongue out and you look in the mirror, you'll see a little bit of a white coating on the back of your tongue, and it comes up all the way from the stomach. So one of the things that you can do that will really help that is eat healthier and stop eating the garbage food. Eat some higher-grade proteins. If you're not a vegetarian, high-grade omega-3 eggs. Also the wild salmon or sardines, grass-fed beef, and then also raw seeds and nuts. And then there is an herb called fenugreek, and you can drink fenugreek tea. And I would actually mix that with ginger and maybe mint or peppermint or spearmint. But fenugreek and ginger and mint as a combination, and you drink that with your meal or after your meal, and you're going to find that within a very short time, even 3 days, the fenugreek starts going through the body, and it changes all the odors coming out of your body. And you'll notice that your sweat smells differently, much sweeter, and a very pleasant smell. And it's a super herb. You can just get some, kind of crush it up and put it in your tea and steep it, and drink that. And again, or you can even get capsules of fenugreek. Take those capsules, and it'll really make a difference. But the main thing is, when you have really bad breath, that's being from a poor diet, and it's from poor digestion. If you're eating a good diet, then what you have to be careful of is either the combination of the foods. You're eating foods that don't mix well together, and so you can look up online food combining, and you just follow those simple rules. There's probably hundreds of websites that talk about that, and you know, not mixing certain foods together at the same time. Or you're eating a food that you're intolerant or insensitive or actually allergic to. So you want to find out those. There is a blood test you can do called an IgG or immunoglobulin G food allergy test. And that will tell you if you have a delayed response or sensitivity to a food. And it can really help. It's not covered by insurance most of the time, but you can find that and get that test done. And it's a really good test because it'll give you that food allergy test. Okay, now one of the things I wanted to mention, I want to talk about this article because it's the prescription for violence. And there's a lot of violence in school shootings, but no one talks about the antidepressants and SSRIs. You know, and according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, a mass murder occurs when at least four people are murdered, not including the shooter. And over a relatively short period of time during a single incident. Over the last 30 years, the United States has seen a significant increase in mass shootings, which are becoming more and more frequent and more deadly. And it says seemingly every time a mass shooting occurs, the anti-gun media and the politicians have a knee-jerk response. They blame the tragedy solely on the tool used, namely the firearm, and they focus all their proposed solutions on more laws, ignoring that the murderer already broke the numerous laws when they committed their atrocity. So facts matter when addressing such an emotionally charged topic. And more gun control legislation has shown that law-abiding Americans who own guns are not the problem. Consider the following. The more gun control laws that are passed, the more mass murders have occurred. Whether or not this is a correlation or a causation, what is not debatable is that the sick phenomena of mass murders are targeting gun-free zones, where they know civilians carry isn't available to law-abiding Americans. And it's happening more and more. According to the Crime Prevention Research Center, 97.8% of public shootings occur in gun-free zones, and gun-free zones are the epitome of the core philosophical tenet of gun control and laws that are all the defense one needs against violence, which obviously doesn't work. So, therefore, when the media and politicians focus on gun rights, specifically what types they are, again, the publics are being intentionally drawn into an emotionally charged debate about legal gun ownership. That's not the question. It leads to misguided gun control laws. So a violence, especially random violence, is a complex manifestation. But one of the things that people don't look at is there may be an underlying substance plays the greatest role in the high percentage of these violent acts, and that's the use of prescription antidepressants, especially selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. And at first glance, it makes sense that those involved in mass shootings may be taking antidepressants. 90+% of every mass shootings they have been on these SSRIs. And yet it's never mentioned in the same article or the study that's what's causing these mass shootings. But the issuing of SSRIs runs much more deep. These drugs are a prescription for violent crime. And that's the story that the anti-gun media and politicians don't want you to talk about. And every study has shown that people taking these medications increase their risk of suicide and increase their risk of violence against others. And this has been proven over and over in study after study. So again, it's not talked about, but since the 1950s, the first generation of antidepressants hit the market. Then they gained Food and Drug Administration approval, and they were known as MAOIs. And by the late 50s, there were new classes of antidepressants. And then towards the 80s, there were, again, more tranquilizers. What I want people to recognize is that it's these drugs that people are taking that are causing it, and not just random shootings. Most of these therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning, Natural Solutions Radio, with me, Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show was brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. So I want to say thank you for everybody joining us, and we'll be back next week with another show.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.